Welcome, everybody, to The Rad Life, the only talk radio show that takes you along with host and age explorer Rod Gontos on his continuing journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older. The Rad Life is brought to you this week by Your Home for a Lifetime, a company dedicated to empowering you to stay safely, independently, and comfortably in your own home. And now here is your host, Rad Gontos.
Good afternoon, everybody. Can you hear me, Paul?
You're coming in loud and clear.
I am. Okay, great. So, welcome, everybody. Thanks for joining us for another episode of The Rad Life. As always, on Wednesdays, 12 to 1, on the illustrious...
We are.
Orange County. Well, infamous, at least. Orange County Talk Radio, right? Boom, boom, boom. We need some dramatic, like almost like, you know, Dragnet music, I think.
Right?
Can you work on something like
I'll
that for me? When I say Orange County Talk Radio, you just go...
Or like Jaws
boom,
or
boom, boom, boom.
We can start singing. Yeah.
Well, you know, we are kind of like Jaws on this show. People just don't know what bite we're going to take out of their story. But it's. I just really want to thank everybody who has been listening, and I know some people have been listening actually for a long time from far and wide. We've been on the air over 4 years. We continue to have fun doing this, so thanks everybody for continuing to be encouraging and supportive, and more importantly, willing to sit in the hot seat across from me. Yeah, Diana's like, "What did I do? Did you lock the door, Paul?"
They're talking about Jaws. It's locked.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know what? I'd say it's a jungle out there, but it's worse than a jungle these days. Right? If you're lucky, you're in a jungle. But you know, we always tackle different topics. And this was kind of interesting to me, and what kind of caught my attention, and we were just joking before going on the air that Diana, and I will not tell you what the number is, but Diana says, "Oh, so this is an aging show. I just had a birthday, so this must be why I got invited to be on the show."
That's right. I just joined the 60 Club.
Well,
see, she outed herself.
Happy birthday.
I'm okay with
You're
that.
Okay with that?
I'm okay with that. 60 is sexy and successful.
60 is sexy and successful.
Yeah.
She can come back.
I like this. Yeah, I think we need to maybe cultivate a show under Golden State. A Golden Seal Productions.
60 is sexy.
60 is sexy 60 and is successful. Sexy.
I love it.
Maybe a show. We need to talk about a show maybe for you.
I'm ready.
On a serious note, you know, it is interesting because we as baby boomers,
another S.
One quick a rarity on this show. You just
coming from
60.
You, definitely.
Many people not that long ago would have thought 60 is kind of you're winding down. You're ready to retire. It's over 62, 65.
Slippery slope.
Done. Yeah. I'm a few years ahead of you here. I'm going to be I'm 64.
60 is sexy
I'll
be successful. I like
in
it.
In a few months. I'm still going, and I think that's the new baby boomer mantra. We're still going.
Yeah, I think 60 is totally different than what your mom's 60 or your grandma's 60 used to be. You know, I think people are very involved in life and building businesses. Mm-hmm. More and more entrepreneurs, especially women, are in the entrepreneur space. So I think it's really important that we honor, you know, the age, and we're okay with that. It also brings a lot of wisdom and knowledge and confidence.
And we talk about it all the time. Like it's one of the most counterintuitive thing for me to ever see, where a company basically gets rid of people that are so, like, brain drain on purpose. It's like you're not losing these people. You're actually getting rid of these people that actually have a lot of knowledge that is in the best interest of your company, and you're basically operating on a preconditioned, almost knee-jerk response that because they have hit a certain number, they are now disposable and replaced by two people at the same price.
That's right.
Yeah.
Well,
but,
that's why, because we get too expensive, too. In corporate America, you know, as you're going up the ladder,
wisdom
you become
costs
too,
money.
Yeah. Well, that's
but
it.
But in the long run, it's also cost-effective.
Can I give you one other shocking thing
100%.
For you to chew on here?
Okay.
I couldn't find it fast enough. Maybe I'll find it as we're talking here. But I saw an article in the Atlantic magazine, which I usually like. It's usually fairly progressive. I'm kind of an old hippie. Kind of a liberal publication. And I was inflamed to the point of canceling my subscription because they did an editorial slamming the old folks running in the Democratic primary.
Yeah, this was recently.
And they basically said, give it up, get out, go away, it's time for somebody new. And I thought, all right, I understand the impulse always for something new and improved, always. But this notion that you have nothing to give because you're Bernie or Warren or Biden and you're over 70
right.
is so offensive to me. And they basically said, literally, Bernie should go down and run like an echo tour down in Nicaragua. Biden should just show up at parades, and Warren should go back to teaching or something.
Well, let's put it this
way. It was very offensive, and it was all about we need somebody young, as if youth is always the answer.
Well, I don't think youth necessarily means fresh outlook. I mean, right. I think you can have a fresh outlook at 50, 60, 70. It doesn't matter what your age,
right.
you know, an idea, good idea.
Well,
we
talk about people reinventing themselves all the time.
Tons.
Right?
Yeah.
And so, with that being said, let's go down memory lane.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
You have been involved in quite a bit.
Yes.
And you have reinvented yourself a number of times.
A number of times.
Right. And yeah. Paul is basically destroying the studio over there for anybody who just heard that clunking sound. Okay. But
he was just so amazed
He was blown away by your resume. So why don't you share your resume with some of the listeners? Because, yes, I mean, what appealed to me, Dan, it was not necessarily a happy birthday, by the way.
Thank you.
Right. But, and I will be basically using 60 is sexy and successful.
I love it.
Okay.
I love it. I only won 20%. That's all.
You're going to need more than 20% because you're going to be sitting in the chair doing what I'm doing for that show.
I'm ready.
Yeah. I think there may be grounds for that, actually.
Okay.
We'll talk later. But I really was intrigued by the fact that you are absolutely a personification of what we talk about, that somebody basically is not necessarily, you know, kind of running one career path, stops basically, you know, kind of like, oh, what do I do now? I'm going to do this for 50 years, right? And you're constantly kind of reinventing mm-hmm. and tweaking and continuing to basically find things to be passionate about and be involved in.
Definitely.
Including the E-Women's Network that mm-hmm. you basically are managing director for the Orange County chapter.
Correct.
Right. So take us back memory lane. As far back as you want
to
go.
Well, we've got like 60 years to go back. I mean, where do you want me to start? But
Cliff Notes version.
Cliff Notes. Okay.
But no, I think it's really part of that story. It's important because I think there is a connectivity. And then with not only the E-Women's Network, but what you're doing now with your company and with Excel, is there's sort of a little bit of a circle.
Definitely.
Right.
I've come like full circle,
Full circle, right.
Yeah.
So let's talk about the beginning
okay.
and then bring us all around.
All right. Well, just really brief. On the beginning sides, I never went to college. I went to work
mm-hmm.
and I managed jewelry stores for a number of years before I got into corporate America.
Why jewelry stores?
It was the job that I had while I was going through school, and then they gave me the opportunity to manage the stores.
Okay.
They gave me a store in Texas. They moved me to Texas from Pennsylvania. And
How old were you?
I was just out of high school, so I was 20 years old.
Wow, so that's like a total like cultural change.
Yeah, I went from Pennsylvania to Texas, but it was going into something similar to what I was doing, so I was very happy. I became a troubleshooter for them, so I'd go into stores that were not doing so well.
Yeah,
and
Paul
build
is a troublemaker
up.
For us.
same kind of
role.
Thing.
Yeah.
Only it makes millions of dollars, right?
Yeah, he doesn't get paid for it. He just does it for the love of it.
So I did that for a number of years, and then my introduction to corporate America was actually when I had moved to California. One of my very best friends I had brought her to Texas. When I moved to Texas, I brought her from Pennsylvania to Texas, and then she brought me from Texas to California with her job. So I came to California and started my corporate career with MCI Telecom and started in sales. And, you know, first time really like knocking on doors, doing B2B type sales and built myself up from a sales executive and went up the ladder to national accounts and then got involved in training and sales development because I was having such success in national accounts. They said, what are you doing?
Come teach people how to do it.
Come and you teach people how to do what you do.
Right.
And got involved in the training aspect of it to where I was running the training organization for MCI. And when they got purchased by WorldCom, my job no longer existed. Mm-hmm. So they walked me out that day with my little box and everything because, you know, it's regulated. So you had to, you know, the police came and
make sure
walked
make sure
you
that
out.
You're leaving the premises.
Take anything with you, right? But the good news was I had been there for 13 years and had really done well. And, of course, they treated me wonderful, too. I got my, you know, my golden umbrella and walked away with a really nice package. And I was out of work for one whole week. I had decided at that point I was going to start my own consulting company and start training and doing what I had done for them for other companies.
Did you have a sense that it was coming, given the fact that there was a buyout?
It was in the air, but we didn't know how deep it would go.
Oh, the cuts.
Yeah. So, but they came in and pretty much took all upper level management, C-suite,
away. Duplication of roles. Yeah.
Yeah, and just brought in all their own people, which. It was, you know, it was kind of inevitable that it was going to happen. Even if it didn't happen then, it was going to happen in the real near future. So I actually was out of work for, like I said, a week. I had decided to open up my own consulting and training company. And it was a very interesting story. I had a home in Las Vegas. And I had gone back. I got laid off that Thursday. Friday, I had plans to go to Vegas because my renter had left my home and we were re-renting it. And so I'm waiting for the management company to arrive. I'm in Vegas on Friday and I get a knock on the door. And this is a true opportunity knocks on your door.
Funny.
Okay. And in front of me is this woman who is Deborah Whittington, who is Gary Whittington, an old VP's wife, who had dropped me off one day when I was flying into Vegas to my home. That was the only time she had ever been there. She remembered where I lived, and she came, knocked on my door, and she said, "My husband is looking for you. He wants to see if you..." She goes, "I'm so glad you still live here." And I said, "I don't. I haven't lived here in 6 years."
Wow.
And she said, "Well, I'm so glad." I told him, "I'm just going to swing by and see if she's there." Now, this was, I was there one day. She goes, "My husband is in the UK. He's just met up with a marketeer who's getting ready to break up the telephone company in Ireland. And he was wondering if you could take some time off and, you know, use your vacation, come down and help him train some of these people." And I said, "You never guess what happened." And she goes, "Well, what are you going to do?" And I said, "I'm going to start my own consulting and training company." And he said, "Great, I'll be your first client."
That's amazing.
And it took me within a week. I was in Ireland for a 30-day contract, came back home, and within another 2 weeks, they called me and offered me a 3-year deal to come down and contract and build a training center and help them do everything they needed to do to get them ready for a buyout, which happened with Lucent Technologies.
This is amazing. So, that's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, that's really amazing, right? I mean, just sometimes just being open to what's going on.
Yeah. But I think, too, it's also about, and I tell this to people all the time, they say, you know, "Wow, that was really lucky that that happened." I said, it was the situation that I was happened to be there and everything. Yes, I think that was just kismet, right? But the fact that I was made that offer was based on my previous performance.
Absolutely.
It's based on what you put in and what you've done.
Oh, absolutely.
And what you've accomplished.
No, absolutely.
You know?
Right.
So so I tell people all the time, you know, the shortcut is really hard work. You just got to work really hard and do the things you need to do.
Right.
Right? So fast forward, I went to Ireland for 3 years. I was a director of training for them as a contractor. They treated me amazing. And again, I got bought out because they got bought out with Lucent Technologies.
Yes, yeah.
So I came back to the States in 2000 and got married and started doing training and sales development locally. And that took me across the U.S. mostly.
What kind of industries or clients?
Everything from I worked with textile industries, manufacturing, distribution companies, financial institutions, anyone that had sales teams, anyone that was looking for either performance management, getting their sales teams in sync that they were actually having these sales come to fruition. A lot of people were doing a lot of activities and weren't seeing a lot of productivity. I'm your girl.
And are we talking about small, medium, large companies?
I would say when I came back to the States, probably I would say medium to large, maybe, you know, maybe like $5 million, $10 million
companies. So some that are also going through an expansion
Yes.
and adding on.
Adding on, going through transitions.
Synchronize.
Yeah. Or sometimes it's just people have grown so quickly, so fast, yeah. and now they need to put things into place.
Right. Different dynamics, different requirements.
Yeah.
Right.
So different type of curriculums and training needed. So I did that for a little while. And what was happening, I had gotten married and my husband said, you know, like, you're traveling a lot. You know, I just got married, mm-hmm. you know, wanted me to stay home a little bit more, but at least be in the vicinity, right?
Yeah.
I mean, we were still chasing each other around, you know, so.
Well, you're the person that got laid off and basically took off to basically take care of the house in Vegas. So I would venture a guess. I may be taking, you know, going out on a limb here.
Well, we weren't married then.
I understand, but that you don't really sit still much.
No, okay. So first of all, I'm a Gemini, right? So, and then secondly, I kind of thrive on chaos. I like a lot of things on my plate. If I don't have a lot of things on my plate, I get bored very easily. Mm-hmm. So I need to always have
Aquarian,
stuff going on.
On the cusp of Capricorn, same thing.
Yeah. Same type of thing. See, I love that though, because I love to be busy.
Right.
As long as it's good busy.
Yeah.
As long as it's things that
intrigue you, interest you, engage you.
That I have like a passion for.
Yeah, yeah.
So anyway, my husband said, you know, you got to figure something else out. So I said, all right, I'm going to take local.
Yeah, hopefully I intrigue you that you have a passion for, and basically enough for you to stop traveling for
a little bit. Well, I did have a passion for him. I still do. So I told him, I said, all right, let me see what I can do. So it was very interesting. I was talking to my jeweler because I was getting ready to buy my husband a watch. And he said to me, you know, what do you want to do? And he goes, why don't you come help me? I was like, I don't want to get back into retail, you know. And he goes, why don't you open your own jewelry thing? You could hire a little college girl. You could do like a little silver shop. And then you could still do the consulting on the side. And I was like, you know, that's not a bad idea.
You know, Dana, I'm seeing a pattern. You know, I'm going to go take care of the house in Vegas. And then I end up basically in Ireland for 3 years. I'm going to go buy a watch for my husband. And I end up with a freaking jewelry store. I mean, I'm just seeing a little bit of a pattern, right?
So now she's going to do a podcast.
No, I'm here talking with Rad. Now I'm going to get my own radio show.
Yeah, you left the room. We're already inking the deal. Don't worry about it.
That's it. I mean, I think, well, you know what I think it is? It's looking when there is opportunities and being, like you said, open to the possibilities.
Yeah, being open is a big part of it.
Anything's possible if you really want to do it.
Being open to receive,
Yeah. And so anyways, he made the suggestion and I said, you know what? I think I'm going to take it. I'm going to do that. Mm-hmm. So I opened a little silver shop and just did silver and gold. And then I was doing the consulting on the side, but smaller jobs, you know, so it was kind of evening out money wise. And then all of a sudden people start coming in and saying, are you the custom lady? Could you do this in gold and diamond? Could you do this? And the next thing I knew, I had a fine jewelry store and I had it for 13 years.
Wow.
Okay. And the difference was I had a brick and mortar for a little bit. And then when the recession happened, I moved everything to Orange County because people in Orange County
The store?
It was in the Inland Empire.
Okay.
And at first it was great because, you know, real estate was fantastic.
Yeah.
Everybody I had was a banker, a realtor, a broker, you know. And when the recession happened, I had about 30, 40 clients that were in the Orange County area that had been referred to me over the course of time and said, you know, you need to come to OC. We lost our millions too, but we still have more, right? And we'll help you. Because I said to him, I said, if I come down there, is it, you know, I can't live on 40 people. So you guys got to help me.
Yeah.
And I have to say they did. All my clients stepped up. And my entire business was built on referrals.
Well, and you asking, like being very clear and willing to ask, like, hey, if I'm coming to do this, I need your help.
That's it.
Versus just not asking.
Well, I think
asking.
People always want to help, right?
Yeah, but a lot of people don't ask.
Well, that's the thing. And that's actually, I think, a problem for a lot of people in everything that they do, that sometimes you have to ask for the help.
Absolutely.
And sometimes you have to say, this is what I need, you know, whether you're talking about a relationship.
Yeah, people are not mind readers.
No. You have to let people know what you want so that they can help support you. Because most of the time, if there's someone that believes in you, they want to support you.
Right. But they just don't know how, and they need you to tell them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so I built the jewelry business really based on referrals. I went from a brick and mortar to an actual private showroom. So it gave a different type of experience.
Exclusivity, yeah.
Yeah, exclusivity. It gave a secured environment. Mm-hmm. It gave them a very unique one-on-one. Mm-hmm. They'd come down, throw their purse down, grab a glass of champagne. They had the whole showroom to walk around in, you know, and we got creative. Mm-hmm. And I have to say it was one of, I loved doing that. I loved being in that. But what I loved was the people. Mm-hmm. I could have been selling anything. It doesn't have to be jewelry. It was about the interaction.
The relationship.
My husband used to say, he goes, they all bought the jewelry from you, and you did so well because not only did they get jewelry, but they got their business plans looked at. Mm-hmm. They got their resumes checked. They, you know, I was always still in that training, supportive mode.
For you, it was relational. It is relational versus transactional.
Definitely.
Yeah.
100%.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it's not about transaction, it's about interaction.
Well, that's also why you have always been like where you excelled in sales, and then you basically excelled in training and conveying that to people. I mean, that is something that a lot of people miss in the pursuit of the transaction. You forget that at the end of the day, it's relational.
All relation. You know, when I decided to close the jewelry company, I actually ran it by my clients for a year. Mm-hmm. And I actually brought them over to the Center Club here, where I'm a member. And I said, you know, I'm not going to be in the shop today. You want to meet me at my club? Mm-hmm. And I would do an interaction or transaction with them there. And I said, you know, if I'm thinking about closing my shop, would it be okay? Like, would you be okay with meeting here?
Yeah.
And they're like, we'd meet you in a gas station. We don't care, you know, as long as you take care of us.
Right.
And so I started to make that move. And then that's when I decided that when I made that move, that's when I had the opportunity with eWomen Network. I was a member. And they contacted me and said, would you like to run the Orange County chapter?
So give people a little bit, Diana, about the eWomen Network, as just because it's a national organization.
It is a national organization.
So give people a little bit about the mission and so forth. Yeah.
Well, it's all about women helping women. Mm-hmm. eWomen Network was established in 2000 by Sandra Yancey. She's our founder out of Dallas. And, you know, she really founded it because she was looking for networking for women entrepreneurs, because she was a woman entrepreneur herself and wasn't finding what she needed. Mm-hmm. So she developed the system. And it is a system. It's really a success system that they've put together where we have so many resources available to that woman entrepreneur. Mm-hmm. But more than anything is that we have a mission of 1 million women earning $1 million. So that's our goal as an organization, our overall mission. But we have a set of core values that I think are really integral to who we are, which are things like lifting as we climb, you know, give first, share always, teamwork that makes the dream work, right? Those types of core values of that you're not alone, that you're in an inclusive community, that that is really there to support you, that we are all your cheerleaders, we're your promoters, we're the ones that are your believers, your doers, you know, that are going to be there to help you grow.
It's interesting, the timing on this, when you're saying this is an organization that was established in 2000. It's interesting because you would think that, I mean, that's recent history. Mm-hmm. Right. And yet in that period of the last 20 years, or even more so in an escalated version, even maybe the last 10 years, 8 years, there's been a growth in women to women organizations across all industries. I see it in the spa industry. It's fascinating to me that was not already in place.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's amazing how we are now almost to the point where there's so much that you almost need to look carefully at something that has substance.
Definitely.
Versus just very much like it's a washing of, well, this is what our focus is. But, you know.
I agree.
And what you're talking about, and maybe let's give the listeners the website.
Yes, it's eWomenNetwork.com. That's our main website. You can go in there. We have over 118 chapters throughout North America and Canada. We just opened Australia. Mm-hmm. You can also you know, check us out at eWomen Network OC, mm-hmm. Orange County, and look at our individual chapter. But the cool thing is when you become a member of eWomen Network, you're mm-hmm. not just a member of a chapter. So unlike a lot of...
Member of the network.
You're a member of the whole network. Yeah. So once you join, you can go to any chapter anywhere. The other piece of the pie with eWomen Network is we're not exclusive as far as... like industry specific, where there's only one financial planner or one real estate broker or one coach, life coach.
It's like some of the networking groups that are on there.
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, there's nothing wrong with that.
There's a rationale and a logic, but
Well, here's my thought is, okay, if I'm in a room and you're the only realtor that I have to deal with and I'm supposed to give a lead to you, mm-hmm. okay, unless I feel comfortable with you.
Well,
I'm
there's that relationship thing.
Again, right? Yeah. I'm not going to give you that lead, right? And if I'm, you know, if it's all about just a lead exchange, mm-hmm. to me, that's not networking. Networking is really building an effective relationship. So I know exactly who you are and what you do.
Yeah.
And so then I can, you're the first person that's top of mind when I hear somebody that wants your product or
like
service.
When like somebody basically makes a beeline to your door in Vegas and knocks on it.
I know, right?
No, it's true. And I think to your point about, you know, like not having only one person from a particular discipline inside mm-hmm. the network only, it speaks to another differentiator, I think, that I'm glad to see more organization adapt to or adopt, but it is definitely something I've noticed as an offshoot from these women to women networks.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the word collaboration and collaborative mm-hmm. versus competition.
Definitely,
some of the other organizations, because it's transactional,
mm-hmm.
because the benchmark and the quantifying of, you know, of whether it's successful or not is based on the transactional versus the relational, which, you know, we live in a society where everything is measured by quarterly results, right?
Yeah.
Relationships have a little bit longer return on investment
mm-hmm.
model, right?
Right.
Yes. And yet it's a lot more sustainable model if you establish it, right? It's a lot more loyalty-based model if you establish it, right?
Definitely.
But it's also not, it's also an inclusive versus exclusive.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's really interesting because, yeah, I think there, I notice more collaborative spirit.
Definitely.
Right?
Yeah.
And I actually credit a lot of the women organizations that have popped up in the last 20 years as bringing that into the matrix of how networking happens. Before, it used to be a lot more, you know, I'm defensive, I'm protective of my territory, I'm not sharing leads, you know, it's not a rising tide raises all ships. It's more of a, you know, I'm going to make sure that I'm good, and then if I feel generous, I'll pass on something.
Well, we think, and I agree with you 100%.
It's just a different dynamic.
It totally is. And I think, you know, if you've come from, if you're a woman and you're out there listening and you've come from corporate America and you're my age, you know, at some point in time in your career, mm-hmm. you had to scratch and beg to get mm-hmm. that position because mm-hmm. there was only one seat for a woman, mm-hmm. okay, at mm-hmm. that time. Now it's a little bit broader, still not great, but a lot broader. But what we do as entrepreneurs, now you're coming into this entrepreneurial arena and you are finding this more collaborative environment, but you're also finding women that are coming from a place of abundance, mm-hmm. okay? You know,
and giving.
That giving piece mm-hmm. of it. You know, if you hold everything so close mm. to your chest,
nobody really wins.
Yeah, nobody really wins.
Absolutely. And I think that's even, like, you could almost argue that that is the better way, regardless of gender specifics. But
100%.
But yeah, I mean, think about your own personal relationships. And the interesting thing is that we, I don't know whether it's the time that we are in, it's the, you know, sort of the difficulties we face with the down economy, the sort of uncertainty of the world that we're living in, right?
Yeah.
The closeness of everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to just preface that when we talk about relational versus transactional, we're not talking about 5,000 people on Facebook and God knows how many people on LinkedIn. That is connections. Those are contacts.
Yes.
Those are not depth of connection.
That's right.
We're talking about relationship building. We're talking about investment of time,
mm-hmm.
courageous interaction, honesty, openness, vulnerability. Ooh, there's another word that people run away from like a mile
like
a minute.
Like the plague,
right?
Yeah. Right.
Paul, are you still okay with vulnerability? Well, he's seen you've shown a lot of growth in 4 years. I used to say vulnerability and the door would slam. Around here.
I am just absorbing all this because we get so many people who come in here and say, women, all the issues we talked about, women don't get paid enough, women are fighting for all one seat at the table and everything here. To hear somebody say, well, we're embracing this, we're trying to help this and work this through, because I hear this complaint all the time.
Minorities used to, the only way the minorities, whether it was women or ethnic minorities, would get a seat at the table is you literally have to bring your own seat.
Yep.
And like elbow your way into to get a place at the table. It is different, but we're still struggling.
And yeah. Why? That's what I don't get, because I grew up, I'm a little older than everybody here. I'm in my mid-60s. And
that's actually a very good question.
I grew up in the era, we fought the battles in the 60s, we went through the 70s and the 80s, and all of a sudden, this is going to sound really stupid and I guess chauvinistic, I thought, okay, we'd been there and did that. We won that battle, that battle's over with, and then all of a sudden it reemerges in the Me Too movement.
Yeah.
Really? How many companies suddenly have to get re-educated
so
this
So why
stuff?
Do you think? I mean, I think it's different. I think the struggle is different.
I think
there's even probably a little bit from an outsider, obviously, looking in. It almost seems like there's more evaluation and soul searching even within the women's movement and the women, you know, business ownership, where, you know, what does it mean? Like almost a redefinition of that persona and role. But why is it that we still have this discrepancy, which is really ridiculous?
Well, I think that's an excellent question. I don't know that I have the answer, but I think if you look at everything, look at racism, you know, thought we had that kind of figured out, right? The late 60s, 70s, we thought we had that down, right?
Mm-hmm.
Not so much. Still here.
Well, there's the poster child right there who tells you that basically I went to hash bashes and I, you know, protested against this and I lifted the banner against that. And
And there's still, you know, and I think the pendulum keeps swinging back and forth.
Did we stop that energy and fight and got distracted by things like yuppies and suburbia and having families?
You know, I think once something's out there, sometimes people think that that's kind of, well, it's out there.
Yeah.
People know now. So people will change and people will do certain things. And maybe there's
some
little changes, but then it's never, I don't think it's ever going to go away.
No, that's human nature.
Right. But I think that as a woman, my feeling is that if I know that this is the situation, there's a plus to that, too. If I know that this is a situation, I know better ways that I can handle it or choices that I can make. And I wouldn't make the same choices now that I maybe made when I was in my 20s, you know?
Well, there's definitely, it seems to me, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but it seems to me that there is a much more sense of empowerment and confidence in that empowerment that's just a little bit more across the board, and it's not even age specific, I think, where you see a lot of people that are minorities or women that are basically getting a little bit more comfortable with their voice, to where it's not I'm standing on a soapbox and projecting. It's actually part of daily living, part of how I express myself, part of how I put myself out there, basically, either a businesswoman or in social settings or whatever. It's just a different energy, it almost seems.
Well, it is different. And I think, too, a lot of it has to do with the media and social media and the fact of we have internet and that everything is seen in immediately as it happens.
Right.
It also gives you the opportunity to build those communities, find other people that think the way that you do and build that. And that can be for good and that can be for
bad.
Absolutely.
Sometimes it's too much echo chamber.
Yeah. But I mean, I think there's some power to that where people start to feel like I'm not the only voice out there. So, you know, that sense of belonging
almost
into a group.
Point. Right.
You know?
Yeah.
But I think there's also bad to that. I mean, you look at people that, you know, are shooting up schools and different things like that, and they're finding their people too.
Yeah,
you know, everybody's finding their groups.
Well, it just makes it easier for us to know where they are.
So, can I ask you a question?
That's true.
Outside of E Women Network, and we've had a lot of other women in here. What's the organization for women business? NAVO.
Mm-hmm.
We've had a lot of people in here from that.
Right.
And periodically other groups come through, come and go.
Definitely.
Are there more... Well, let me rephrase it. Is there a place where women can share their stories other than one-on-one networking groups? Are there, is there a podcast? Are there, is there conferences? Are there places where women can go discover that they're not alone in this journey and just tell stories, share each other's problems?
Definitely. I think there's a lot of women out there right now. I know there's a number in our group that have podcasts and stuff that are sharing about who they are and why they've chosen the paths they have. And now they're out there helping other women to move forward.
Courageously, vulnerably, authentically. That's a big word for me. I mean, we also live in an echo chamber of noise. Mm. And so sometimes it's hard to discern the voices that are really worth paying attention to,
right?
But they're out there, and they're trying to make a difference on their own terms. Which is, this is what the on their own terms is the thing that's very appealing to me. Is it almost seems like there's more comfort. There's more comfort in just basically taking that path, whatever that is for you, mm-hmm. and basically just owning that space.
Yeah.
Right.
So let me ask you one other hard question, and I hope this doesn't come across as offensive, but my wife used to say this for a number of years, and I've heard a number of other women come through and say this.
And I just met your wife recently, so
she's a firecracker.
Yeah, she said a lot of stuff about you, but
here's what she was in business for a long time until just recently, and she's retired now. And she said, you know, as much as women say they're out to help each other, her experience was the opposite. Because maybe there was a feeling of scarcity. There was only two seats left, and by God, I'm mm-hmm. going to take it. Her toughest critics, her toughest bosses were women and not men, who didn't mentor her or didn't support her, or not just her, but other women around. And we've heard this over and over again. And her biggest disappointment, whether you like Hillary or not, the notion that women did not view that as important to elect a woman to president.
I agree.
Whereas I'm an Irish Catholic. When the first Irish Catholic broke through, whether you like Kennedy or not, we were all voting for him. When the first African-American broke through, you know, for all those waiting for that moment, people voted for that. Yeah. When the first woman finally made it to that point, the majority of women went, it's not important to me.
You know, I don't take that as a negative, though, Paul. I think there's a lesson there that the women's movement actually tried to teach us by doing that. That it was not about
tribal,
about the label or the box. It was about the quality of the person and the message and what they stood for. If you really want to look at it from that light, you would realize that we are actually better off for the fact that that particular minority group, I don't even know why we call them women minority groups. They're in some places they're more than men, but basically, the women
those out of power,
the women movement that basically looked at that situation, and it was an interesting thing to play out. I mean, when you had people like Gloria Steinem basically like chastising other younger women for not blindly supporting a woman.
My wife's
position. I'm like, wow, talk about a women's movement kind of not imploding on itself, but definitely re-examining its priorities.
Right.
Right? It was a very interesting... I thought it was an interesting, you know, chaotic... You said you like chaos. I'm a believer in out of chaos comes order. And I think that was a moment of out of chaos comes order.
And the argument
is
Hillary and people didn't like Hillary. Okay, I get that too. She was never the most popular person in America, going back to when she was the governor's wife. But you see it again. There's a whole slew of women candidates running, more than have ever run. And there isn't a groundswell to elect a woman to highest office like there has been to break through every other barrier.
Would you say that, I mean, obviously there is a part of the women's movement that basically would support based on gender, but I really think that unlike men, women also have the ability to really be more discerning. Like, it's really not about the gender, it's about the quality and the person and the job that they're being brought in to do. And I think they have a little bit more clarity to see that.
Well, I think everybody should be.
It's not clannish. Absolutely. I agree too.
I mean, would I have liked to seen a woman become president? 100%. Yes. Do I think that we're in that time where we're going to see that? Yes.
Yeah.
You know, definitely. And I would have loved to see that happen. But ultimately, I think it's no matter what happens in this next election and no matter who winds up being the candidates, it's going to be looking at what the issues are and who do I feel the most comfortable with that's going to lead our country in a good space.
Yeah.
And take care of some of the issues that we have and who do I think is going to be the best person. And it doesn't matter whether it's a man or a woman. Yes, my preference, I would love to see a woman because I do think that we would take the responsibility and the job and take it in consideration a little bit differently than a man. I think it would definitely be taken differently.
So let me give you a different take on it.
To
leave politics aside, California was one. Yeah. I think it was in California here where they're trying to pass a law that says a certain number of corporate board seats must go to women. Warner Brothers hired a woman for the first time ever in its long
women start, on boards.
Mm-hmm. On boards. Is it important to just to reach a certain quota to pass through a glass, to break that glass ceiling?
It's almost like an affirmative action.
Yes.
Right. I do think that it is necessary because I don't know that it would happen organically. Mm-hmm. I think it does need to happen because I think those voices need to be on those boards. Mm-hmm. And I think that will change a lot of the playing field of some of these companies and bring so much more value to the discussion where it's not just, one group's voice. So I do think that there is a place for it to say, yes, you must have so many women on board.
I mean, it's almost like you could switch it around.
As long as they're qualified women. I'm not saying just put anybody, but you want to have the same criteria.
Income inequality is another one. I mean, we should be talking about that. There's absolutely no reason for income inequality. If a job is being done and it deserves a certain compensation.
Why is that even an issue anymore? I mean,
well, because
I mean, I know it is, and I know it's real. I'm
it's
just
ridiculous. Stunned.
Yes, because things of that nature become inbred cultural elements in a company. There is basically a hierarchy. There is a this is how we have done it. I mean, you take it on everything from school segregation to whatever. This is just how we have done it. This is mm-hmm. what we do. Nobody wants to basically be the person who sticks their neck out and does it differently. So you have to have these conversations. I mean, why is it that we have an aversion to diversity? We have an aversion to diversity. Forget about on a gender basis.
Right?
Oh, my God, somebody's skin is a different color. Somebody's language is a different accent. I mean, it's not even, immigrant, non-immigrant. It's southern, east side and west side of the Mississippi. I mean, it's like, it's always been inbred. And part of this is human nature. This is a part that will always be there. But to try to rise to the betterment of ourselves where things like income inequality, equal representation, or at least a diverse enough representation. Mm-hmm. That kind of diversity is actually is an empowering positive, not a negative that we should be shying away from.
I completely mm-hmm. agree, but I guess...
Regardless of political parties, it's got nothing to do with political parties.
No, I'm definitely stunned about the equal inequality in pay, though. One, because I didn't know it was still persisting. What do I know? I haven't experienced it, so I somehow thought that had been closed a long time ago, and clearly it hasn't been. And the underlying rationale or the underlying reason that was given in the 60s, I remember it well, was I could pay the woman executive thing because she's going to quit and have children. The man, on the other hand, is doing this for life and for a career, and he's probably the sole breadwinner. So somehow he needs to make more. The woman doesn't need to make as much and maybe isn't as committed.
And tonight we'll be watching Father's Knows Best, right?
Absolutely. And couples will be sleeping in two separate beds. Right, yes.
I mean, just me saying it out loud, everybody's laughing.
And one is wearing an apron, and the other one is basically, going to Medicine Avenue for two martini lunches.
So with the absurdity of that argument gone, what could be the, other than the just...
But I think I just described the White House, actually.
Yeah. Oh, wow. I don't disagree with that, but I guess I'm stunned that narrative can still... That it still plays.
But I think too, and we talked about it earlier about asking, right? There's a part too where, as a woman, if you are up for a particular position and you're in those levels within a company, you need to push the envelope. I mean, you need to be able to stand your ground and make sure that you are getting what it is that you deserve. And most of us, if you've been in corporate for a period of time, you know what those numbers are. Hey. You know who's getting paid what, and you can ask. okay?
There is
it's going to be a lot harder for somebody to deny you than for you to just take it.
That's that empowered voice.
Yes. Anna.
That is the empowered voice. That is why everything from attitude and approaches have changed. If you're really paying attention to the nuances, it has changed.
Totally.
Dynamics have changed between minorities, between genders. They have changed. For those who are really wanting to embrace that higher level of operating, it has changed. There's a reason why the marvelous Mrs. Maisel is basically, you know, like a multi-time award-winning show, right?
Definitely.
Right. I mean, you don't know what I'm talking about. I think is it on Netflix? It's not on Netflix. It's on Prime, right?
It's on Amazon Prime.
It's on Amazon Prime. Okay, yeah. Either Netflix or Amazon Prime. Go check out that show because it's a reflection of somebody who is transitioning, literally from that poster child 50s woman to finding her own voice and basically owning it.
Right. As a stand-up comedian.
Right? Yeah, as a stand-up comedian. Yeah. Right. And so it really is an interesting time to be in. It's a very empowering time. I think if you're a guy and you're watching this happening, I get a lot of joy out of seeing this because it benefits all of us.
Yes, definitely.
Having that added voice, added input, it benefits all of us.
Let me give you one last controversial thing that passed through here, and I've another thread I've seen pulled on Never.
Really quick, because I have a couple. I have another empowered woman that basically we're going to call and have her basically showcase an event that she has planned at a center club.
Ah. So one of the things, another area that women continue to be underrepresented is in politics. We had a representative from the National Republican Party, which particularly has a shortage of women candidates for a variety of reasons. And this was a woman who was tasked to go around the country and try and recruit women to specifically run for office as a Republican. Mm-hmm. And here was what she said. And I've had a lot of women kind of nod and say, yeah, there's some truth in this. She goes into a market and she said, we all regularly, both parties regularly try and find people to run. And so we go into a market, left or right, and we try and find the most, the wealthy, successful, powerful, influential people in the community. Mm-hmm. We call up some attorney and we say to him, we think you should run. And he says, yeah, I think I should. I never thought about it. She said, we go and find a woman in that same position, and she gives me 100 reasons why it's not now, can't do it, got to think about it. She said the women always hesitate, and the men always immediately
maybe check. They're just smarter. Yeah.
Could be. But so her argument was, for women to break through this barrier, it's kind of what you're saying. Take control. The opportunity is here. There are people out to support you. Emily's List on the other side, eagerly embrace women candidates, and yet they can't seem to recruit them to run. Because is it something inherent in women or inherent in women running for office or something
Diana,
here?
Go ahead and answer this because
okay, here's my thought is I hear these types of things and it kind of rubs me the wrong way that's a certain thought process of a group.
Yep.
To me, I don't think that that's necessarily reality. I think that's someone who's saying, well, I tried to find somebody and I couldn't find them.
Right.
Right. So here's why. Because everybody thinks like this. So if you're going in and you're trying to find somebody to recruit and already in your mind, you're thinking that this is the way it is.
Not gonna work.
That's who you're going to attract. Well, those are the people that are going to come to you. Okay.
Right.
Number one.
Yep.
Number two, I think we can figure out all the reasons why we are still back in the dark ages on some things.
No.
But the key thing is what can we do to move forward? How, as women, can we take those reins and say, this is who we are. We're standing in our power. Mm-hmm. These are the things we want. Mm-hmm. These are the things we ask. And if we start lining up some people who are willing to step into those shoes, then those other things are just going to go to waste. And those are going to be old wives' tales.
And here's the thing, Paul. Okay. If this was actually true, versus convenient excusing, right? Why does the Democratic Party have so many women in office that are basically...
Well, their part is, nobody wants to deal with Trump and be chastised for their life.
What I'm saying is, if this was true, then it would be true across the board if it was gender-based. It's not. No. I mean, I don't want to go down the political path, but, you know, that...
Well, and more women are running this cycle in the Democratic race for president than ever.
Well, but look at the incoming, you know, class of Congress people.
Yeah.
Right? In Washington, last election cycle.
I think it was the highest number ever.
Right. Yeah. So that doesn't hold water, and it doesn't hold water at the city council level on both parties where there's nonpartisan situation. You look across Orange County alone.
Yeah.
A lot of seats on city councils are held by women.
Well, that was one of the reasons she was here, because this was the exception to the rule for the Republican Party. They had more women in office in Orange County at one time than anywhere else.
So that undermines the whole rational logic, because if that was the case, this would play out the same way. Yeah. It doesn't play out the same way.
But
it's excusing. It's making the theory fit the facts.
I have brought this up to other women, though, in this chair. And I've had other women executives say, women don't react. Women don't jump like men do. Women have a lot of other responsibilities. They're still in the house.
I'm sure she...
But not jump like men do doesn't mean they don't jump.
Yeah. I don't want to jump like a man. I want to jump like me.
Like
I want to jump
like who
I am. And that's, right?
And that's
what was that? Remember that commercial? They said, do you want to throw like a boy? No, I want to throw like me.
Yes.
You know why? Because I throw really well, right? I know how to throw.
Okay. So, you pitch as you, not as me.
That's it. Right?
Okay. All right. I'm trying to stir things up. No, I'm not getting anywhere.
Okay. So
starting trouble.
So speaking of pitches.
Speaking of trouble.
Please dial the number that I'm going to give you right now.
Okay, go ahead.
Okay, take us to a commercial for a minute.
Yeah, let's go to commercial number over the air here. Right?
Imagine what it would feel like to lose everything. Your job, your home, your family, your dignity. This has happened to thousands of the men, women, veterans, and young adults we serve at Working Wardrobes. What do we do to help? We provide career development services, life skills workshops, job skills training. We provide the perfect interview outfit, and we get clients placed in jobs. Call Working Wardrobes, 714-210-2460. Donate, volunteer, invest, hire.
I'm on the observation deck of the Empire State Building to demonstrate how much material Waste Management recycles. As North America's largest residential recycler, last year alone, Waste Management recycled 12.9 million tons. How much is that? Let's do the math. Carry the 6. It's enough to fill this building more than 27 times. With experience like that, we're bound to have a program that can help your business recycle. Talk to Waste Management or visit thinkgreen.com.
Okay, so we got a little heavy there, and I needed to take a break, so we went to commercial, right?
But
it's really funny on this show because things kind of set themselves up very nicely for me. So just before we went off the air for a commercial,
and everybody
we were talking about we did. We took Paul in the corner and we beat him up, but not as a man would beat up a man.
No, as a woman.
There was no abuse. There was no abuse of control person or programmer on the making of this show. But what we did do is we started talking about, like, why should a woman be pitching like a man? They should be pitching like herself, right? Mm-hmm. And then this sort of mindset of the fact that we compare things as, why are so many men willing to run for office? But when women are asked, some of them will say a million reasons why they won't do it, right? And then we kind of poo-pooed that, and we didn't agree with Paul. We thought he was kind of like, a little archaic and, Neanderthal in the corner there. But it's okay. We love him. He's a curmudgeon. But speaking of which, since the word pitch came up,
yes,
okay,
time to pitch.
I wanted to get a little lighter, and I wanted to bring somebody on board that has been on the show before. Okay, Ingrid, are you there?
I am here. Thanks for having me again.
You are welcome. And Ingrid, I hear you have something to pitch.
Something to present to the general community, especially the old guys listening to these old guy shows.
Ignore anything Paul says. Something to pitch. What do you have to pitch?
Well, I'm pitching to the 40-plus women and gentlemen out there that are looking to meet someone special. You know, we get inundated with the swipe right, swipe left, and social media, and it's just, you know, some of us are a little old school like me. So my girlfriend and I are hosting a singles, sophisticated singles mixer for the 40 plus, and it's at the Center Club tonight in Costa Mesa, 650 Town Center Drive. We are having food and drinks, and we're having some interactive facilitated activities, and it's just going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, there's a lot of us out there trying to meet that special someone, and so we're just trying to push it along a little bit. So if you're listening and you want to meet somebody special, the Center Club is a really special place. It's over by the Segerstrom Center. It's very sophisticated.
Classy. Sophisticated, absolutely.
It's going to be a great time.
And how much? Is this free, or was there a cost involved?
It's $50 per person.
Yeah.
And if you bring someone of the opposite sex, because we're trying to encourage that, so we haven't, you know, we have the same amount of men and women.
Right.
You can bring a coworker, a brother, a cousin, a neighbor. Then your tickets are $45. So it's $50 per person, but it's well worth it. The food and drink there, the atmosphere, the fun, and the people.
Why is it so hard to find people? I hear this. Last time I dated, Reagan was president, so I'm a little out of touch with this. But I will tell you that...
Tear down that wall, Paul.
Exactly. But I hear this all the time in here. We did a show for a long time on here about how hard it is, not just for women, but for men and women to meet anymore. And yet there's a million apps, a million things online, and yet that seems to make it a million times more difficult.
Is it, Ingrid?
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Like I said,
is that true,
like
and
I said,
why?
I'm just old school. I personally need to have a physical connection with somebody. I need to be able to look in somebody's eyes and see if there's anything physical. You know, it's just hard when you're online dating because you don't know who's sitting behind the screen. I mean,
well, the picture could be a lie. Often is, you know,
exactly.
And the description.
A lot.
Yeah.
Yes, I hear that a lot. And I guess, you know what it does? It just discourages people to go on dates. So they would rather not. And like I said, I'm old school, so I'd like to take it back to that and just have a physical connection, someone laugh with someone, and you know, and we have some interactive, well, just two, but we have two interactive games that we're going to be doing.
Games.
So you're not just standing around like you go to a bar, you know.
Kind of seeing if someone will come and hit on you or talk to you here, whatever. Yeah.
Well, it encourages you to open up a little bit and say something besides hi, like, you know, how are you? Come here often, or what's your sign? But
have you done these before? And is this the first one, or are there going to be more?
This is our first one. And you know what? I'd love to be able to put these on. Like I said, there's so many men and women out there that are looking for, you know, a connection. And I'd
record
like to
numbers.
I'd like to be Cupid. I wouldn't mind that job so much.
Okay.
So Cupid, before you hang up, tell people again about the location and the time.
Okay. It's the Center Club in Costa Mesa. The address is 650 Town Center Drive. And it starts at 6. It's going to go till about 8:30 or 9. And lots of fun.
Are you including valet parking?
Uh-oh.
Well, valet parking is separate.
Okay.
And are you going to card people if you're too young or too old?
I was just going to say, well, listen, I were not carding people because, you know, there are some men that like younger or other way around. There's young men that like
older
cougars. Yes.
We are encouraging that as well. So there is no carding going on. But like I said, it's our generation, and I'm just trying to scoot it along a little bit.
When is it too old to come? Can you come if you're 90?
You can come if you're 100.
Wow. Okay.
If you can make it over there, you're fine.
If you can make it over there, Graham, you're good.
Well, will you in? Yeah.
Yeah.
Thanks for calling in. Take the side entrance. There's stairs on the main entrance. But Ingrid, thank you so much for calling.
Yes, we hope to see everybody there.
Always, anytime. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks so much.
Enjoy yourselves tonight.
All right, thanks
all right,
so much.
Bye-bye.
You know, not to be on a down note again here, but I just read a report, I think it was in Time or something like that, the record number of people, men and women, who are going to spend this last half of their life, this last quarter of their life.
Not if they go to Ingrid's event tonight.
No.
That's right.
Because of death, because of divorce, because of outliving spouses or whatever. And the problem was, they said in the article, is that as you get older, your social world shrinks. You're not working. You're more isolated, and your kids are, so you're not running into as many. When you're younger, you're interacting with people because of your kids, because of your job, because of your community. As you get older, those connections.
Well, but it's like, you know, bringing this full circle, we talked about the fact that it's all about relationships.
Right.
Yeah. Right. And so, you know, the convenience of dating sites, the convenience of swipe left, swipe right, whatever, you know, the app based kind of approach, it may be convenient, but you kind of
doesn't create a connection.
Get what you pay for, you kind of get return on what you put in, right? So
that's right.
So some of the stuff that is the tried and true older way of meeting requires your energy, requires your engagement, requires your open-mindedness.
Right.
You know, getting out of your whole little, you know, box. We keep telling Paul, get out of your box. But, you know,
he's physically in a box here.
He's a physical.
So can I ask, we'll leave it on an up note then. Well, if that's true, how do women benefit through the through your organization? Is it just an online forum and an online advice place?
No, it's not an online connections. I mean, we do have our Facebook and our
resources,
social media and resources that way. But we meet once a month, the second Thursday of the month at the Center Club in Costa Mesa. And that meeting is our accelerated networking event where we have speaker, we have luncheon, there's structured networking. So it's not just social networking. We're actually going to be asking you what you need. Tell us a little bit about your business. What are some of your challenges? What are you looking for? What do you need support on so that we know how we can help you? And that's the goal, is to really help you move your business forward. You know, I always used to say with networking, you know, I don't care if anybody ever buys my products, or I don't care if you ever buy my product or service, but I want everybody you know to buy my products or service, right? So I want you to feel comfortable enough with me that we have a good relationship. You know what I do, so that you can then promote me. If you're just going into a networking event and just handing out business cards and trying to sell
you're not engaging.
Well, and if you're trying to sell everybody there, eventually you have to get another room because you've hit everybody.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So now you need another room versus if you're building a relationship and utilizing everybody that these individuals know. So we do that the second Thursday of the month, and that's a great way for you to meet about 50 to 60 women entrepreneurs.
How do people sign up for that if they're not a member of the club, or how do they find out about it? Let's give the website again.
Yeah, they can go to www.ewomennetwork.com. You'll go to chapters. You'll pick Orange County chapter, and there will be all of our events that are happening. We also do a strategic roundtable the first Thursday of the month, which is a smaller group, but it's a strategy session.
Any cost to membership?
Yes, there's a cost to membership. It's $357, but you pay that one time. You never pay that again. It's not an annual thing that you pay.
It's a one-time.
A one-time fee, and then you pay $19.95 a month. That's your dues. That allows you to interact with the entire network. We have a speakers network, a podcasting network. If you want to write a book, if you are looking for video, there's so many resources, not only within the group, but within the network that are available to you as an entrepreneur. And we also don't discriminate. We do have men in our e-women chapter.
What?
We call them our e-males.
Wow. Okay. E-males.
Yes. We got a few smart men.
E-mails.
Yes,
right.
A few smart men who have joined us. But I think that that's the whole thing. Is it's a totally inclusive type of a network, and that you really feel like you belong and that you're there, and these are your core group.
So it's about connections, not just about contacts.
Totally.
So before we go off the air, let's just touch on the Orange County chapter.
Okay.
So give people a little bit of insight as far as, like, so what are some of the industries that are represented, for example,
in
your current membership?
How many members
do you have?
I have 178 members in our group. We have ages, I think our youngest is 27 and our oldest is 82.
Wow.
So quite a vast
age
group.
Yeah.
Majority of the women, I'd say, are in their 40s and 50s. Probably about 20% are in what I'd consider transition mode, where either they were in corporate America and now they're going to be an entrepreneur, or maybe they were a mom
kind of
and now they're
the
starting their business.
Yeah.
And then probably about 50 to 55% are in growth mode. They've had their business for 5 years plus and they're building. And then we have probably another 20% that are in scaling mode or looking at exit plans or even looking at retransitioning or reinventing and doing something.
What kind of industries?
Everything from we have coaches, authors, chiropractors, dentists, we have attorneys, we have CPAs, financial planners, jewelers, travel agents, marketing companies, website companies, Facebook gurus. I mean, It's across the board. And then we do have a few MLMs as well, but majority of the women, I would say, are small business mm-hmm. owners, either brick and mortar.
That's a good size chapter.
Oh my God. And not because it's my chapter, but we have the most amazing chapter. I have mm-hmm. the most amazing women. One of the other things that with eWomen, it's not just about what we offer our entrepreneurs, but we also have a give back. Mm-hmm. We have our eWomen Foundation, mm-hmm. where every year we have a humanitarian of the year, which is a corporate thing that's chosen from corporate. But every year, our chapter gives a $10,000 grant to a local nonprofit. And all year we work through raffles and different things where we collect money. And because of the generosity of my chapter and just the give back thought process of all the women there, we've been able to give a $10,000 grant every year for the last 8 years that our chapter has been in existence.
Some of the recipients for those grants?
We had Working Wardrobes was mm-hmm. the last year. The year before that was Care Project. Mm-hmm. This year, our grant recipient is Wise Place. They're out of Irvine, and they are a transitional facility for homeless women who are now kind of finding their way, finding their feet, getting things back. You know, getting their life back in order.
That's awesome.
So we're super excited. We're getting ready to have our conference in August in Dallas. It's going to be happening July 31st through August 3rd, where Wise Place will be honored and be given their $10,000 grant. So we're super excited.
I see Paul signaling me. He's already given us a little extra time. But how do people get hold of you?
They can contact me directly at Diana Sabatino at eWomenNetwork.com, or you can also call me on my cell, 909-489-3334. I do screen my calls, but definitely leave me a message if there's something that we can assist you with, if there's some help that I can give you. Everything on eWomen Network is on the website, so you should be able to get most of your answers, but reach out.
I'm
more than happy to answer. www.eWomenNetwork.com, and then just go to chapters, Orange, and it'll do a drop down and just pick out Orange County. And you'll be able to see all my contact information and as well.
And for those who are interested in your services as far as sales training,
yes.
give them the website for your
Yes, Excel is Excel Performance, www.excelperformance.com, and it's EXSELL. Performance.com. And basically, I work with coaches, consultants, individuals, small businesses, corporations in taking a look at how we can move the dial, how mm-hmm. we can actually increase the revenue so that they can become more successful. But taking a look at how you're attracting your clients, what things you're putting into place, what is that sales conversation mm-hmm. or messaging that you're delivering, and what are your packages and services look
and
like?
If you're in a product and service industry this day and age, and as the economy does its own little fluctuations that we're going through right now,
definitely.
This is super critical. So, and
if you don't have sales, you must master sales. If you want to master your business, you have to master sales. If you are not selling, you do not have a business.
Correct.
You are just in a very pricey hobby. Okay. So you need to
be
making money. You need to be making money. There's nothing wrong with
monetizing. Are you in business or do you have a pricey hobby?
That's right. That's right.
you guys pick.
There's nothing wrong with making money. And I say this to all the women out there. There is nothing wrong with making money because good people who make good money do good things, right? And poor people can't help poor people, right? So you have to make money then. And if you have something that is of value and you have a service that you have such a passion about that you became an entrepreneur, that you need to make sure you're getting it into these individuals' hands so that you can serve your public and that you can make the impact that you dream of making.
And continue to feel passionate about what you're doing.
Definitely.
So
100%.
You know where to call to get your act together.
Yes. Call me.
Thank you. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
You have been listening to the Rad Life Radio Show with your host and age explorer, Rad Gontos, brought to you on the one and only octalkradio.net. Join us again next week as we continue our journey of discovery into life's challenges, opportunities, options, and all the latest and greatest things that come with getting older.